It's a Friday morning, and that means it's always time to visit with Ben Fredrickson on Scoops with Danny Mac. And Ben was at the ballpark last night taking in the inner squad game. This is presented by Henderson and Watercutty. See what they offer at stlcriminaldefense.com, stlcriminaldefense.com. Ben Fredrickson from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch wrote about the game in today's Post-Dispatch and on STL Today. Ben, as always, good to visit with you, and how are things?
I'm doing well, man. It's great to have some inter-squad games to discuss. It's great to not see you in person at the ballpark, but to know that while I'm there, you are there too on the level below me, and just good vibes to have us both back in the same place with some baseball going on, my man.
Yeah, it's nice to talk baseball and to actually talk about what the roster construction, you know, may look like as we're a week away from opening day. I can't believe we're saying that, and we're less than a week away from the start of the Major League season. It'll be a quick season, 60 games, but last night it was KK against Waino, and again, not a lot of offense. We'll get into that in just a moment, but let's get into the rotation. This is starting to take shape. You know, Wainwright will go in game two. Flaherty's going to be your opening day starter. I really like what I've seen from Kim, whether it was in spring training or again last night. How do you think this thing is starting to shape up with the rotation?
Well, I tried to get an answer for us last night. I said, hey, Shilty, you told Wainwright he's in, so we got two of your five. You say you want five. I said, can you just go ahead and round out the rest of it for us right here, right now? I said, Kim's got a birthday coming up next week. I said, just, you know, give him a little early present, tell him that he's in, and let's get this thing nailed down. Well, he prefers to wait, and I understand that. But, you know, look, we see the writing on the wall here. He has been adamant that he wants a five-man rotation because he feels like these starters are, you know, they're ready to roll deep. I mean, if it was something where they could only go three innings, four innings, then maybe it's different. Maybe there's more of a piggyback. And I think we're going to see, they won't call it a piggyback because they don't like that term, but I think we'll see kind of some pairings here really start to become, become more obvious, something like a Dakota Hudson with a Daniel Ponce de Leon, a sinker baller with a guy who can elevate that fastball coming in after him. And then you got Gomber, who, let's be honest, Dan, I thought his stuff was as sharp as anybody in these inter-squad games have been. I mean, he was locked in. He had his nice curveball working. He's really tightened up his other pitches. And, you know, the pace with which he worked was outstanding. I just thought he looked like he was trying to make a statement, and he did. And then Kim goes last night. Now, to me, I think we agree on this. I think Kim should be a starter. With what he did at spring training, where it's not just pitching well, it's making these hitters look as if they've never seen a pitcher before. Late swings, awkward swings, painful-looking swings. Guys shaking their heads going back to the dugout. He has four pitches, and really more than that, because he can kind of pull the rope on a slider and it can speed up or drop down. And he was throwing stuff last night that was like registering somewhere in the 60s on the radar gun. He's got kind of a deceptive delivery. He's got a very long stride that gets him really, really far from the rubber and really, I think, gets the pitch on guys quicker than they realize. I mean, these Cardinals hitters have seen him now through spring training and now through summer camp, and they still can't get a feel for him. So to me, I love the idea of him being used as a starter, where, you know, you could have only one or two starts against some of these teams you might see, you know, in a postseason setting. I like that. Now, if you use him as a reliever, there's going to be more of him out there. Now, not innings wise, but just appearance wise, there's going to be more appearances for people to read up on, study, that kind of stuff. And I also think about this. I think he's a pretty routine-oriented guy. You know, talking to him at spring training, you know, things like the long road trips, he's getting used to all this stuff. Everything's new. But one thing that's not new to him, you know, he's learning the language. He's learning what it's like to live in America versus South Korea. But one thing that's not new to him is starting. He has his routine. He knows what he's got to do. And he says, you know, I'm at my best when I'm a starter. Now, he's also said he'll do whatever's best for the team, as has Carlos Martinez, who has looked good. We haven't seen him pitch as long. He said he can go deep. We haven't seen it yet. He starts in tonight's inter-squad game opposite of Miles Michaelis. And then you got Michaels, who's now healthy. And, you know, this guy was your opening day starter last year. So there's not an easy decision to make. The way that I would lean personally would be to put obviously Hudson and Michaels in along with Kim. And then, and I, it's not a shot at Carlos, and I don't want to get this twisted. He's really good at being a closer. He's got a plus 90 plus save percentage at that job over the past two seasons. And the Cardinals options for that spot have diminished. Junior Fernandez, we saw last night, is not exactly, you know, locked into that spot. Maybe it could be Ryan Helsley, but he doesn't have much experience there. I think that's a huge role, and we don't know that Kim could do it. He's never had a save in his career in the KBO. So my gut says Kim in the rotation. Carlos, you got to convince him that him being the closer in the 60-game season is just as important, if not more, than him being a starter.
You know, just on a personal level, watching Kim last night, my heart just, you know, went out to him. I was thinking, my goodness, you know, it's been so hard on everybody, any walk of life. I don't care how much money you made in playing Major League Baseball or what they're paying him to play baseball, but can you imagine having a family coming to the United States? You're trying to get accustomed to the language, to the culture, and he hasn't been able to go back home. You know, he's been, for lack of a better term, stuck in the United States. And trying to be in Jupiter, then come to St. Louis, figure out what the hell is going on, and play baseball. I mean, how tough has that been on him? Holy smokes.
It's not the season he signed up for. That's for damn sure. And this is a guy who, thankfully he's got his translator, Craig, who is, you know, they're pretty much joined at the hip. But goodness, this was supposed to be a two-year contract where his family was supposed to come over and be able to spend time with him, watch him pitch. He hasn't been able to go home. They haven't been able to come here. He's got kids. He's got young kids, you know. FaceTime has been what he's been relying on, and he has not complained. He didn't want to risk the chance that he might not be able to get back if he went back home. He came to St. Louis and paired up with Adam Wainwright, and he's teaching Adam Wainwright some Korean, and Adam Wainwright's trying to teach him some English. And I mean, Adam's a great teammate, but you're right, Dan. You don't make a decision on his season based on that. You don't say, hey, you're going to be in the rotation because we feel bad for you. I mean, he's got to be the best option, but I think he's done everything in his power to prove he is. And I imagine he came here with the, not the guarantee that he would start, but the assumption, if I do what's right, then I'm going to get a chance to be a starter. The Cardinals also feel that Carlos has done that too. I mean, they said, hey, if you want to start, you got to show us X, Y, and Z. And he's done that for the most part. He hasn't left any box unchecked. So there's going to be a tough decision to make. And one of the ways to work around it would be to do a 6-man rotation, but they say they don't want to do that. So somebody's got to get the boot here, and it'll be interesting to see how they do it. You know, but I do think one of the things we'll absolutely see is we'll see, you know, Gomber and Ponce, the other two guys who are clearly not in this 5-man discussion, although they would be on many other teams, how they use those guys to me is going to be fascinating. Do you just pair them up and then have them be kind of the counter punch after a couple of your starters, or are they more flexible than that where you want them pitching in more games than just, you know, every other 5 days with a certain starter? To me, those two guys, Dan, you know, Gallegos and Brebbia were so huge to this team last year. They didn't get talked about enough. Well, now Gallegos still has not thrown a pitch at summer camp, and Brebbia is out for the season with Tommy John. We might be talking about Ponce and Gomber as the guys, the relievers, that play a huge role that we should have been talking more about after this thing's over.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.
What have you thought of the games, just in general with, you know, last night was the first time, and it'll be done across Major League Baseball where the crowd will be piped in. We're going to have that. You're going to have the introductory, you know, now batting player X. You're going to have some organ music at various stadiums to try to make it as quote-unquote normal as you can. If a home run is hit, the elevation of the crowd, you know, the noise will be, try to make it normal. Some teams are having cut out, cardboard lifelike people in the stands. Trying to describe this as best as I can. I think you're playing along with me here and not making fun of me, and I appreciate that. So, we're trying to make this as normal as we can. But what have you just thought of the games? What have you thought of how the players have described it? You've been down there. I've been down there. Just what have you thought of it?
I think you and I should get a cardboard cutout of Ben Fred Friday.
Absolutely.
You know, right? I want to be in the booth with you. So every time they show you, there's a cutout of us.
Be a nice plug.
Socially
distanced. Of course, socially distanced.
Yeah, come on. Get that. Make it happen.
I'll try.
No, I think we should get the Watercutty Bros. That's what we need.
No question. Put the Watercutty, Henderson and Watercutty right there, arm in arm, saying, hey, STL Criminal Defense right here.
I love it. I got to admit, as a mistake. So this very rarely do I make a mistake. No, I'm kidding. but I was wrong about the crowd noise. I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a sham. I thought, give me a break.
It helps.
This is going to come across corny. It does help, man.
It's better. Yeah.
Because that game, you know, those live VPs or whatever they're doing when there's nothing playing, it's brutal. It's like a vacuum sealed baseball game, and it's really hard to have any sort of energy. At least the kind of the generic crowd noise, it gives you something, and I think it's good. They got to figure out when to play the right stuff. The other night there was some growing pains. That's going to happen early on. He had some cheers from the fake crowd when there were foul balls and things of that nature. But I do think having some sort of sound is better than nothing.
I'll tell you what.
Both of them.
Hey, that's part of what we're doing. We're trying to, and we've even talked about it, and we kind of kid among ourselves. We're like, ooh, that was a little rough. We got to get our timing down. We're kind of laughing about it amongst ourselves on, oh, that foul ball. That wasn't okay. I got to get my timing down on that one. The guy that's doing it, who's been there forever, and he's great, and he's a great guy, and he's like, yep, getting my timing down. Don't worry, guys. I'm getting my timing down. So everybody across baseball
like everybody
is working
else,
on it.
Right?
Yeah, but exactly.
In this case, the way this team's hitting right now, Dan, they might want to cheer for a foul ball just because it's some sort of contact.
Now,
Maybe he's ahead of the game.
Easy, Ben. We have a week till opening night, okay? All right? The offense it's a work in progress, my man. Work in progress. And the pitching's been really good. I'm taking the other side of it, okay? The pitching's been really good.
Yeah, it has been, although I think it's turned out how good would it look against a team that had a more put together offense right now? Look, that the story is the story. This team has so many pitchers, and they're so good, and they play good defense. And these things are true from last season, and that's going to be the case again this year. This team's going to have to pitch well to win and defend well to win. But you know how they score runs is going to be the big unanswered question. And at least you know there hasn't been anything done in summer camp that makes us wonder if that's not going to be an issue. Now, how much stock do you put into what's going on in these intershot games offensively? I wouldn't look at runs, you know, because they got the goofy scoring system where they roll over runs. The pitcher hits his limits. Like, there's kind of sometimes you just throw runs on and then move ahead innings. I mean, it's not exactly traditional official baseball in these inner squads. But what I do look at is not much success with runners in scoring position. I look at not very many extra base hits. I think there's one home run so far in the inner squad games that belongs to Paul DeYoung. Not a lot of doubles being hit. Not a lot of balls leaving the infield. So I know the pitchers are ahead of the hitters, but last season Cardinals hitters were oftentimes behind the pitchers during the season too. So that's going to be a topic here, and they're going to have to really rely on their pitching and their defense until they get their bats cooking. And the sooner the better. Yeah, it would be nice to see a couple home runs leave the ballpark tonight.
Yeah, and yet here you go. You get Carlos and you get Miles, so good luck. You may have another tough night at the ballpark offensively. But I guess, you know, just like we started, you know, talking last January and February when you said, okay, where's the offense going to come from? It's minus Marcell Ozuna. And you're going to, you know, roll the dice, I guess, with Tyler O'Neill and Lane Thomas. And the Dylan Carlson question is there, and it's lurking again. That will be the question.
Yep.
You know, we're a week out, so where is the offense going to come from? So I'm going to take it a step further. I'm curious about lineup construction as we're watching this. I get asked about it all the time. I think Wong would be the leadoff guy. I did find it interesting. Yep. The last couple of inter-squad games, you've had Carpenter near the top. You've got Edmund near the top. I think that DeYoung is your cleanup guy. I think Goldschmidt is three. Yep. And then interchangeable yep. parts. So where are you going with the lineup right now as we're about a week out? What do you think?
That's how I've got it. Colton leading off. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, that's been the pretty consistent part of Schilke's lineup so far. Colton leading off, Karp or Edmund second, depending on who's playing. Edmund could be, they could both hopefully be in the same lineup if Carpenter's going to be the DH at times. Goldschmidt three, Paulie DeYoung four. Feel really good about Paul DeYoung, man. He just seems locked in. I think he could have a really good year, albeit a shortened one. We haven't seen anything from Goldschmidt that goes, oh, this is problematic, although he's kind of been, at least the past couple of seasons, has been a bit of a slow starter. So I think that's going to be interesting to watch. And then Colton, you just want to see more of the same. After what he did last year, put the ball in play, use his speed, and be the hitter that he's embraced being here as he's kind of hit his stride in his career. I think it's probably, likely that we're going to see Yadier Molina at times hitting fifth. That could be something that, some people might throw up their hands about, but he seems to be swinging it really well to me. He looks good, and he's always thinner when spring training starts because he drops a lot of weight during the off season. He runs a lot, long distance during the off season. He kind of, he does it for a reason. He comes into spring training thin, and he kind of gains some weight during the season to be able to be a little more durable. He's thin now, but he's not just thin. He looks stronger. I mean, he looks fit, and he never looks unfit, but he looks, like he's been in the gym. And just that at bat that he had against Flaherty.
Terrific.
Was
yeah.
That Wednesday night.
Yeah. Tuesday night. Yeah.
Really, he had two against him. One was that comebacker up the middle, which Jack smartly got out of the way of. And the other was that, the other was that walk that he took where he got behind, and he just looks super comfortable, and he's putting good swings on pitches. So, he might be higher than he normally would be. Where Tyler O'Neill goes is interesting. He could be fifth. He could be sixth. He could be fourth. At times if it doesn't exactly click with Paul DeYoung, but it depends on how he hits. He again, kind of like spring, Dan, he had a big start, and then he's been quiet since, and we're seeing kind of some of those strikeouts. He's a little more quick to take a walk, which I think is good. And it does seem like he is going to get, the first nod for starting in left. We keep hearing about Tyler O'Neill and Lane Thomas, but based off the lineups and based off of who's actually making starts in left field during these inter-squad games, it sure seems like they're going to give Tyler the first opportunity.
I want to go
then after that, you go down through the lineup. I think the only other thing is I like the idea of Bader hitting ninth. You have the DH and whoever's going to use that. I think Carpenter could be that guy. I used to think Brad Miller might get some reps there. We'll see. He hasn't been very active in these games with that heel issue, so I think he's going to miss out a little bit there. Ravello has shown why he could be considered for some opportunities there. He's been looking pretty sharp here lately. And then, as you get toward the bottom of the order, I would want Harrison there. I like his speed kind of being that second leadoff guy to Colton, and he seems like he's willing to take and embrace that role. I think that could work well for him.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.
Very quickly, Blues, all of them back on the ice. I mean, it's trending in the right direction to have hockey, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I was out there yesterday at Centene, and the guys had probably... They're out there beating each other up, Dan. I mean, they're getting after it. I mean, Berube came back and said, basically, look, we got to get our legs moving. We got to get our blood pumping. We're not out of shape, but we got to get back into hockey shape, our hockey shape. And the players have embraced it. They are going through some intense practices. out there at Centene. They're fired up. I mean, Berube is he's got the feel for this team, and they're still bought in. So I like what they're saying. I like what we're seeing out there, and I think it's crazy that he didn't get picked as a finalist for the Jack Adams Coaching Award. He was a finalist last year, got third somehow, and he wasn't even on the list of three finalists this year. That blows my mind. I don't understand it. I feel like it's East Coast bias. I think it's crazy that the people who picked that thing didn't look at this and go, okay, look at what this guy's done, not only last year, but this year without Vladimir Tarasenko, who's back, by the way, Dan, and everybody out there at Centene says that his shot looks as good as it ever has. You know, he's so eager to get playing. And he had the best quote of this whole pre-hockey season yesterday when he said, look, you know, you got people complaining about the bubble and this and that. And he said, look, we don't need much. I need a hotel. I need a bed and I need food. So leave it to Vlad to keep things simple.
And then finally, college football. What do you think? What are you hearing from, you know, some of the quotes of Greg Sankey, some of these I hate saying it that way, but just not the bigger conferences are shutting down, at least for now. What do you think about college football coming back?
Well, it does seem like we're past the phase of just mindless happy talk here, and we're actually going to get some real conversation about how this could work, if it's going to have a chance to work. I'm not ready to say it won't happen. It's not going to get past fail conversation. It's going to be how can we make changes and what can we do to make sure we have as much of a college football season as possible, because the alternative is to not have one, and I don't think anybody's going to like the shape of college sports in general if that happens. You're going to see programs being eliminated, kids losing scholarships, coaches being fired, jobs being eliminated, all that stuff. So the conversations are happening. They should have been happening sooner, but finally it looks like the NCAA is going to get involved here and try to kind of be a voice for some sort of standardized operation. Now, why it took so long for the NCAA to do something, I don't know. I mean, this is the NCAA that will come in and, you know, that will remove a kid's eligibility for taking a candy bar from a booster, but, and then, you know, slam a coach for making one illegal phone call. And then they will turn around and host your March Madness, but they don't want to be involved about a public health crisis for their member institutions. Again, poor leadership by the NCAA. There needs to be some sort of agreed upon procedure for teams. One of the reasons for doing that is that would encourage teams from canceling their non-conference games. It would encourage teams from having to really circle the wagons around Power Five conferences, which is going to leave the non-Power Five conferences out in the cold when it comes to a big chunk of their revenue, which is playing those teams. So, look, I hope it happens. They might have to cancel some games. They might have to space some games out. You know, I don't know that playing a game a week is very realistic if you're going to have to test all these guys and get negative results back and then practice with the guys you have. There's a lot of hard questions and a lot of doomsday talkers out there, and maybe it does get to that. But I think there's probably somewhere to meet in the middle when it comes to finding an answer that's not canceling everything, but not having it as we know and love it.
Awesome stuff, Ben. Let's get to next Friday. If we can get to next Friday, that means we've got opening day with baseball, which would be just a great thing. So I appreciate it as always, and we'll catch up a week from today.
Sounds good, brother. Talk to you soon.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.